Let us open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We can gather in your name. Yes. Lord, we want to quiet our thoughts down to focusing on what is good, and that is you. Help us to glean from your word this morning, Lord. I know every time we're in your word, it speaks to us in the way we need to hear from you. And may this be a very profitable time this morning spiritually. And so lead us now as we continue in looking at these 16 verses each week from Psalm 119. Fill us with your spirit and open our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we continue on, as you know, and we are today in verses 113 through 128. And I'm always challenged to have a song that fits the message, but there are so many messages in 16 verses that we'd need to sing like 16 songs, and that wouldn't give us any time to pray. But there were a couple of verses here that did jump out at me. Verse 116, it says, "Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope." And the next verse, 117, "Hold me up, and I shall be saved." So we have uphold, and we have hold me up. They're very similar, although the uphold is more of a propping up. It's not totally holding you up. It's assisting your standing, more like a crutch. We're holding me up. It could even be taking you clear off your feet in a way. So I just thought of this old hymn, "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." What a fellowship. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. So let's sing along here, if you will. Verse 113, "I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield, I hope, in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles in fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the proud oppress me. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. So in these two stanzas today, we begin with I hate, and it ends with I hate. Oh, we don't want to hate. We're Christians. We don't want to hate anybody. We don't want to hate anything. Well, the psalmist doesn't quite agree with that. We don't want to hate good things. We don't want to hate the Lord, but we want to hate evil, right? Well, as we look at the verses today that begin with this letter, Samach, verse 113 reads, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. Double-minded means a divided heart or a divided mind. And we all have problems with that, I think, to a degree. Let's say you do some good, righteous deed for the Lord. Part of you is doing that for the right way, and part of you feels really good about it. But the other part wants to take credit for it. The other part says, well, now maybe God will really bless me because I did something good. So we've got this kind of double-mindedness here. We want to serve, but we also want to do it to be recognized, and that's not what we're to do, is it? So the double-mindedness, that's saying one thing part of the time and another thing another part of the time. We had that in, as you who went through the study of Jeremiah, we had
Zedekiah
as a prime example of double-mindedness. He would feel guilty, so he'd call Jeremiah in to get the word from Jeremiah. What does the Lord say? The Lord would give him this, what he said, and so it was like, yeah, we'll do that, we'll do that. And then the enemies came in, and right away they said, we want to kill him. He said, oh, go ahead and kill him. I mean, talk about double-minded, and you're wishy-washy, whichever way the wind is blowing, whoever you're with, you want to fit in with them. So you don't have a strong rudder there that just stays on course. You're all over the place. And he says, I hate that. I hate the double-minded. But in contrast to that, I love your law. I love your word. I love the Torah is really the word there. I love your word because his word is never swerving, isn't it? God's word is right on course, never changing. So here we are all over the map. You think we need the word? Yes, we need the word. And the psalmist says, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. Verse 114, a double defense here. You are my hiding place and my shield. This is the buckler shield that you would use in battle to protect yourself. And so God is my hiding place and my shield. The double defense there. And again, I hope in your word, always looking to the word of God in almost all of these verses in this psalm. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. And now here is a command in a word. Depart from me, you evildoers. Evil there is the raa in Hebrew, which is the strongest form of anger, really, or one of the strongest form of anger or evil. More evil than anger, but you get angry at it too. So he says, depart from me, you evildoers. That's not a good person, an evildoer. From a spiritual standpoint, they're against God. For I will keep the commandments of my God. Now, that's a perfect verse. There's so many perfect verses in the word for where we are today, right? Isn't it? I mean, where we've always been. I mean, nothing's new under the sun. The same plans that are being used today to destroy you by Satan are the same plans that Eve was tempted with way back in the garden. You know, creating something wrong, lying about it, and saying God really doesn't love you, creating doubt about God, and then saying, oh, you want to be like God? Yeah, I'd like to be like God, sure. Well, and you want to be smart like God? Yeah. Well, then just eat this fruit and you'll be smart like God. Wow, is that easy? Well, give me the apple or whatever it was. Maybe it was a plum or pear or peach. I don't know. But give me the fruit. And she ate, right? Now, that was the second person created on the face of the earth. So it wasn't that we've got generation after generation of getting down and worse and worse and worse, which we have in a way. But we start out with Eve, right? Pretty much start out. We start out with Adam, but next with Eve. And she was the one that fell and sin entered the world and death through sin. We all know that story. But we have here, depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. And then verse 16, uphold me. That's really lift you up. Lift me up according to your word. Again, the word of God, the word of God. Why? That I may live. Isn't that beautiful? The word of God will cause you to live if you listen to it and follow it.
Yes.
Ignoring it will cause you not to live. Hold me up and I shall be safe. Again, a defense. And I shall, here's my response, I shall observe your statutes continually. Observe, we know, is that Hebrew word means to lean into doing it. You hear something and you observe it, and means even as you hear it, your heart is willing to do it, not just to agree with it. We all kind of have a tendency, I agree with everything in the Bible. Anything in the Bible you don't agree with? No, I agree with it all. Do you observe everything in the Bible? No. Well, we want to observe it. I shall observe your statutes, not once intermittently, but I shall observe them continually. Well, I think I switched the two verses there. Uphold me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Now, that's another word that is so used by the opposition today in a way. They want to shame anybody who's against their cause, right? They want to shame you for being Christians. They want to shame any opposition. They want to shame you. They want to silence you. And if they can't shame you and silence you, they want to kill you. That's Satan's playbook, right? So that's where this opposition is. Do not let me be ashamed of my hope. How ashamed of your hope are you? And we might say, well, I'm never ashamed of the gospel. And then you think back, well, how about this last week? How about the week before? How about the week before that? There were those opportunities where I knew I should have stood up for the Lord and I didn't say anything. Why didn't I say anything? Well, a whole bunch of reasons, but it's almost like I felt ashamed of it. Maybe that doesn't ever happen to you, but it says here, do not let me be ashamed. I also think of that like in the model prayer where it says, lead us not into temptation. I'm not sure, but what I think that really means is, Lord, protect me from getting into a temptation that's too strong for me. A temptation like Eve had. And Eve's temptation was too strong. She fell, didn't she? So, Lord, protect me from getting into temptations that are too strong for me. And when I see here, do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Lord, keep me from situations and give me strength that I would not be ashamed of the good news of the gospel of Christ. That's my hope, is it not? My hope. And then verse 17, prop me up or hold me up and I shall be safe, another defense, and I shall observe your statutes continually. 118, you reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. We have a whole long list of distractions and rejections and so forth in, well, you name it. They're there in Romans, they're there in Corinthians, they're in Galatians, list is in Revelation. Over and over, Jesus says, tells us, if you do these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So that is rejection. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. And then you put away all the wicked of the earth, like slag or dross or scum, whatever you want to call it. You know, when you refine metals, the dross or the impurities comes to the top. So that's what we're talking about here. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. So when you refine something, what do you do with the dross? You destroy it. You don't leave it in there. You destroy it. So it says, Lord, you put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. And we need to remember that. You know, I get so upset against some of the atrocities going on against the Lord. And I guess kind of, you got to do something, Lord. You got to do something. You know, that's me talking because I know better than that. He's going to do something. He will take care of every single sin of every single wicked person ever has been or ever will be, right? Great tribulation coming. Therefore, I love your testimonies. And do you love his testimonies? When I see that, I say, yeah, I love this testimony. How much? How much do I really love his testimonies? And then verse 120, my flesh trembles for fear of you. That's really an awe. I've just been talking about the judge of the world, the judge of mankind, putting away all the wicked. And when I think of that, my flesh trembles in reverential fear. Not in fear of me being handled that way, because I know what the Lord has done for me. But who am I talking to? Who am I praying to? I'm praying to the God of the universe. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I'm afraid of your judgments. We need to be fearful of the Lord. We need to be fearful of transgressing what he tells us to do and then not do it, or to do those things he says will destroy you. Verse 121, I think this is David writing, and you may disagree, but I have done justice and righteousness. David was one who did rule with both. He ruled with justice and righteousness. Some rulers have ruled with justice and not righteousness. And a few have ruled with righteousness and not justice. But here is the double, justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. I think there's another little thing there for us. You know, if you got chinks in your armor, where's Satan going to go for? He's going to go to the chinks, right? Now, if you're talking about a ruler here, or even us, not even a ruler, if we've done justice and righteousness, there's no chinks in that, is there? But if we've done injustice or unrighteousness, then Satan can say, aha, look at you, you sinned there, didn't you? You're no good. So we want to keep our armor without chinks in it. Verse 122, be surety or be a guarantee. Lord, be a guarantee for your servant for good. Now, he's going to use this term, your servant, here three times in the next three, four verses. Three times. Your servant, that's probably a similar term to bond slave in the New Testament, although this is Hebrew here in the Old Testament. But it's a bond servant or a servant. Bond servant means you're totally indebted to your servant. You do whatever your servant says. You don't question your master. You do it as his servant. So be a guarantee for me, for your servant, for good. Guarantee good for me, Lord. I'm your servant. That'd almost be like saying in a way, in a smaller way, Daddy or Mommy, protect me because I'm your child, right? I'm your servant. Do not let the proud oppress me. Oh my, how the proud are trying to oppress everyone for control, always and including today, and even more and more in this nation than ever before, it seems like. Do not let the proud oppress me. Then verse 123, my eyes fail from seeking your salvation, or the weariness. and your righteous words. And I'm wondering how many times my eyes get tired. My eyes get tired, but is it from seeking his righteousness and his righteous word, or is it from seeing something else, you know? Deal with your servant, again, your servant. Deal with your servant according to justice? No, according to your mercy. Isn't that great? We appeal for his mercy because we don't want to stand on any other ground, really. We don't deserve it, but we ask for it. Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. I do want to learn, Lord. I do want to learn. And then thirdly, I am your servant. Verse 125, give me understanding. Praying for, there's six prayers right in this little section here, and this is the fourth one, I think, or fifth one. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. That's a great prayer, isn't it, Lord? Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. 126, I can put down here, August 7, 2021. It's time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. That scripture is always fit. It was written 2,000 years ago. Actually, 3,000 years ago, I should say. 3,000 years ago. It was time then, the psalmist said, for you to act, for they regarded your law as void. How does it fit today? Wow. This nation has never turned its back so much on God as it is. I was reading one of Pastor Chuck's commentaries, which I always do. I always look at what he says about these things. And 30 years ago, he was saying, we've come so far, I don't see how we could get any worse. Yeah. So what's happened in the last 30 years? Has it gotten worse?
Yep. Yep.
What's happened in the last 6 months? Has it gotten worse?
Yep.
So it's time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. How timely is that? But now there's two therefores. There's two consequentlies here in a way. Verse 127, therefore I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. In the light of rejecting the Lord, we see the word of God just keeps looking better and better, doesn't it? I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. And do we? Do I? Where is my attention given? Is it given toward material things or is it given toward spiritual things? Verse 28, therefore all your precepts concerning all things. That's two alls in there. That's pretty much everything, isn't it? All your precepts concerning all things. Nothing left out there. I consider to be right. Do you ever question the Bible? When you talk to other people about it, they say, oh, it's a bunch of myths. You can't trust it. It's not true. We know it's a myth. It couldn't have happened. I hope you have answers for that to a degree. We don't want to argue anybody. We just want to keep bringing back to the love of Christ. But this is his word that he has spoken to us. All things in it I consider to be right. And have some illustrations for that. How can you show that you know the word is right in your life? What has it done for you? And then finally, I hate every false way. So we begin by, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. And we close by saying, all your word is right. I hate every false way. Father, we thank you again today for the fabulous truths in your word. And we know that there's not just truths in it, but it is all true. Lord, you have included in your word that we are invited to come boldly to the throne of grace to pray. We've been invited to pray, our Father who art in heaven. And so here we are. We also know that you, Holy Spirit, are in our midst, and we want to pray as led by you, as you would give us utterance. So lead us now in these moments of prayer in Jesus' name. I'd like to just close this morning by singing the model prayer and just mindful that no singular pronouns in this prayer, but this is for the whole body of Christ. And so as we sing together here, may we sing to our Father.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in
Father, we do thank you for meeting us here this morning. We thank you that we can be with you this whole day. Help us to stand for you. Help us to remember to pray for the others, for the lost, for so many wicked people. And to be grateful to you for your mercy and your righteous judgment, Lord. Bless each one because they came and just because we went to observe your word, Lord, and love you more and love one another more. In Jesus' name, amen.